Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 191, episode 5 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, up top, fuck all the Christian faith-based healthcare plans. Apparently one of these snuck an ad into our algorithmically generated ad feed. And so we just
that's the beauty of it. They'll put ads on the show, and we'll start off saying "fuck them."
advertisers would love to have something like inserted into the fabric of the show that tells you a little bit about them. So, in honor of that, a couple differences from a normal health insurance company is that they take more money from what people pay them, like the health insurance companies, which are like, I thought were the height of evil, but these health insurance companies, like the normal ones, are capped at taking 20% and putting that towards overhead and like CEO salaries. These will take up to like 70% and put it towards the
towards
executive.
God, though.
Yeah,
I'm not against it. You know, that's why I'm a good Christian. I believe in these plans.
And another big difference is that they can disqualify people from healthcare coverage for whatever they want, including tobacco use, having smoked like a single cigarette, or having had premarital sex, anything outside of, you know, the teachings of God.
Well, that's why I'm playing real. I got real low coverage. I'm a virgin who doesn't smoke.
That's right. Anyways, happy to take your money, assholes. It is Friday, July 2nd, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack to the Future, a.k.a. Indiana Joe Bryans and the Last Dusade, a.k.a. Police Academy 5, a Zeitment Miami Beach, a.k.a. The Empire Strikes Jack, a.k.a. Terminatos O'Brien. Those are all courtesy of Hannah Soltis. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
I said, bro, you'll do good once you vax that ass up. You'll be a fine motherfucker when you vax that ass up. Coming to the party when you vax that ass up. Bro, who is you playing with? Vax that ass up. Please, get your vaccines. Thank you to Christy Yamaguchi Maine for making it easy to just encourage vaccinations, especially again
We're looking at these mRNA vaccines, the efficacy looking good, protection against the Delta variant looking good, but we still need to protect ourselves. So thank you for that. Also, shout out to Hannah Soltis, because Assignment Miami, that one, Police Academy 5, I love that one. I think one of the reasons was because when I go to Japan, like, and there was no American like media to watch, I would go to this one video rental store, and that was like one of the six English language films they would have. And I would watch, I'm like, yo, I'm taking this. And hey, I watched that shit till the tape melted.
I had all of Blockbuster to choose from, and I still probably watched that a dozen times when I was.
Yeah. What is it about it?
No excuse. I went and saw Police Academy 6 in theaters. I was 9 years old. I was way too old for.
Which one's 6?
6 is like the one where there's, it's like city under siege. It's not good. Kind of like took itself a little too seriously. And that was, I think, the first time I remember seeing a movie in theaters and being like, oh, this isn't very good. Prior to that, I was just like, well, movies are great. You know, movies are my favorite thing.
Just to bring into the zeitgeist again, Allison Mack from Nexium, who was just sentenced, she was in Police Academy 6 as little girl.
Really?
She's a little kid in that. Yeah.
That explains so much.
Yeah.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented artist who you can commission just amazing drawings from, and a podcaster who hosts the podcast Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu about magical girls and the people who love them. Please welcome back Ayumi Shinozaki.
Wake up. Get ready to turn the volume way up. Jacoby and Miles are underrated. Ooh. Ayumi sautés around the table. Okay. Commission me for art if you are able. You want to do it. Grab your foot to turn the volume way up. You want to do it. Jacoby and Miles are underrated. You want to do it. Ayumi sautés around the table. You want to do it. I hope that you trust in my guest spot on Daily Zeit.
Woo!
I cry when Tic Tacs fly through the sky.
Oh, shit.
It's my guest spot on Daily Zeit. Hi, cry.
Oh, shit.
When Tic Tacs play through the sky.
Wow.
Hell yeah. Standing
you,
up.
Your respect for the AKI, because I saw you crowdfunding, crowdsourcing on the Discord. You're like, I'm going back on. I got, yep. And I, again, shout out to everybody on Discord who puts the group effort. It's amazing to see. And look,
I got a lot of people came to help me out, but this one has to go out to The Brew specifically, who back actually, gosh, I don't know when it was a few, well, I want to say it's a few weeks ago, but time is so strange, where I was actually, Miles, who had mentioned, oh, this was back in the RHCPK
that
was going on. You mentioned, like, no one really comes out here saying System of a Down, and I was like, interesting. That's where it started.
There we go.
It was you wanted do, but you know, it's very hard when you're speaking very fast.
I mean, it requires a lot of production. Yeah, like those ad libs, it's hard to do with one single voice on one breath.
Yes. I rehearsed it many times, but it's still.
Well, it sounded flawless.
Thank you.
Ayumi, where are you coming to us from?
I am in Japan.
Wow.
Yep.
Watching a lot of Police Academy 5. What's going on?
Well, I probably use the same video store that Miles mentioned, but they do have a much wider array of
better now.
Yeah, especially like American comedies and stuff. But it kind of makes sense. I didn't actually realize there was a Police Academy 5 and 6. I had only ever heard of 2, but I'm I was born in the 90s, so just a little after. Like I would say because I moved to America in 94, that's about when my American awareness
like media
of
consciousness
like media. Began. Yeah, that's because my dad was barely watching American stuff when we were there and, you know, I guess back here. So I had no idea. But, you know, that kind of like comedy definitely tracks. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Oh yeah,
that it would be very popular in Japan too.
It's very easy. Yeah, like 80s stuff, because, you know, people like big-chested women in their comedies, and 80s comedies did not disappoint in that aspect. I'm like, oh, I'm noticing something here.
I see. That's the
overlap. Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was hitting in 94? I'm trying to think. Well, I mean, was that Jurassic Park or was that?
Yeah, I mean,
well, actually, I didn't watch any of those movies when I was younger. But, you know, obviously that was like the end part of like the Disney Renaissance. So I was able to watch some Disney movies in Japan. But then because my because I have, you know, family here or in the U.S. also, I did get to get a little bit of early 90s, late 80s stuff. So like Goonies and my family made sure I watched the Addams Family movies and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah. Classics.
Yeah. I mean, like, trying to think back, like, I remember watching, when it comes to in the U.S., probably like A Little Princess. And for some reason, I imprinted very hard on the Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney one.
Yeah.
That was a big movie for me as a kid. I'm not sure why. And, oh, yes, I remember in, because just a few years later, my first R-rated movie was The Patriot.
Oh my God.
terrible one to go in on. First R-rated
film.
Very
strangely recommended by my fourth grade teacher because he was like, oh, hey, kids, you just learned about the Revolutionary War in school. This movie is coming out about the Revolutionary War. You should go watch it. And I asked my dad, and he said, is it rated R? Are you sure? And I said, yeah. And he said, okay.
That one in particular is rated R, are you sure?
Yeah. Starring a bunch of people who are not American.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the, I think it's the first battle, a cannonball takes a guy's head off. And I just still remember going like, oh my God, I didn't know movies could do this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was big on that. That was like post Braveheart. And yeah, it was like, what if Braveheart, but America?
yeah, basically.
Another fun fact, cinematographer is Zooey Deschanel's and Emily Deschanel's dad, Caleb.
Oh. Wow.
Interesting.
That is it. That is.
He's got weird facts on deck today because I just know their cousin, and I'm like, and they're always like, "Yo, my uncle did this movie," and I was like, "I don't care." Mm.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Hunchback of Notre Dame is also, I think, the keystone in the kind of Luxist empire, the like beautyocracy that is the Disney world, because it's the one movie where like the protagonist doesn't get the girl. There's like, no,
yeah,
of course not.
Right.
Yeah, but what? You know, the thing is really interesting is I totally didn't remember that. Like, I remembered, of course, Quasimodo and then Esmeralda. Like, I used to be obsessed with her because she's one of the few brown girls we had from Disney, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like when I got older and I decided to watch the movie again, I was like, who's this guy over here who's like all like hot and blonde and stuff? Like, I don't remember him, but he's actually like very important to the movie, the whole story.
They will have humans and mermaids like get together, but the one boundary that you cannot cross is the boundary between beautiful people and uggos. They're just like, no way. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
As they create them to be terrible monstrosities.
Oh, my God.
All right, Aimee, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of the things we're talking about. We got our first Republican on the January 6th commission.
Uh-oh, traitor alert.
Yeah. We're going to check in with the Office of Proudly Belligerent Police Officers. We're going to check in with the Pacific Northwest heat wave. We're going to look at the rise in psychics and spiritualism around both pandemics and just generally throughout history, because we're in the midst of one right now. All of that and plenty more. But first, Aimee, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, so my search history is Empress Elizabeth of Austria.
Okay.
So this is like tangentially related to my podcast in that I was kind of researching some Italian shows and seeing their availability, because basically there's kind of like this, I don't even know what to describe them, this not huge animation company. It's not like the main one in Italy. But they're kind of like, I guess, a second-rate group. So they do a lot of Italian dubs of other cartoons. It's mostly from Japan, but they also make their own cartoons. But their cartoons are all kind of weird. But they did make one that was a magical girl show back in 2012 called Angel's Friends, which is adapted from a comic. So they were showing that their most recent thing that they've done in the past few years is called Sissy the Young Empress. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why is there a character named Sissy in like 2021? But then I did more research and found that this was actually like a multi-level like adaptation of an adaptation of an adaptation based on the life of Elizabeth of Austria, who was in the mid-1800s, first a princess who became an empress. And it's like so fascinating. Her actual story is very fascinating. But I started watching this show because there are many movies made about her. And she, I guess, she had a very romanticized like marriage because she married the Emperor of Austria, Emperor Franz the First, was
Franz Joseph.
Franz Joseph.
I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page. I'm
big fans here of the Austrian monarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. So they married because he was supposed to get married to her sister and their cousins. So it's like whatever, because royalty, I guess. Mm-hmm. But when they came to meet him, he was like, but actually, she's hot. The younger sister, I'm feeling her a bit more.
Weird. So that doesn't sound like a man in the 1800s.
what a scummy move.
The wild thing is consider like the first time that he went against his own mother's wishes, the Empress mother's wishes, and it's like all romanticized. It's like he fell in love with her and he was always madly in love with her, but there's no evidence that it was like reciprocated. And she was very much, and I think the reason why her story has been adapted so many times is that she's very much like not like the other girls. She had all these different interests and she liked gymnastics and she hated court life in Habsburg. So like she always had a really hard time like fitting in, basically. And so there were movies made about her, Austrian movies in like the 50s. And then in the 90s, there was a resurgence. And then there was a French-Canadian animation about her life. And based on that animation came this Italian animation, which, you know, already her life story, even if it's this very romanticized version where she's actually reciprocating these feelings for Franz Joseph I, is a very wild story. But this one decided that we needed to Disney-fy it up a bit. So they turned it into a magical girl series where she has a magic bracelet and she could talk to an animal. And she has to, like, protect all the animals in Austria, I guess. It's just, like, so weird. It's because it's like looking at her actual story, it's very fascinating. And she even gets assassinated like by an anarchist who didn't really want to assassinate her. They were just trying to choose anybody who was royal. Like
they just hated anyone with the name Franz, I feel like, you know,
like, yeah. And there's just so much to her story. And she also almost definitely had an eating disorder and like she had a lot of difficulty because the first two kids were girls. There's like a whole huge thing with her story that's like very fascinating, like could be very interesting, but everyone focused on this like supposed romance and so on.
It's easier to look at that than like internalized misogyny of like, I was just reading on this Wikipedia article that she was really concerned with her like outward looks and like physique and things like that. And they're like,
She stopped posing for portraits when she was like in her 30s. Like, she lived until 59 was when she was assassinated. And, like, by the time she was 32, she was like, I'm not going to post her portraits anymore. No photos, please. Like, it was very much, you know, she was very strict about not letting anyone see her age. Like, she didn't want that to be memorialized or whatever. Like, it's so much. Like, she's so obsessed with her beauty and everything. But yeah, so this adaptation is so fascinating. And I started watching one episode a day. I'm up to the third episode because I cannot stop. It's such a train wreck. It's like she's always saying these feminist lines like, oh, well, if you want Franz, like if Franz wants to come ask me for my hand in marriage, like he has to check with me before he checks in with my dead father or whatever. And like in the first episode, she decides to go horseback riding, but like standing on her horse and like has a
not going
to
do anything
accident.
Normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's very much she's not like the other girls. It's constantly this thing. And it's just like so weird. And it's so candy colored, too, because it's supposed to be like, I guess, selling dolls to little Italian girls or something. It's just wild. But yeah, it's like this rabbit hole that I could not stop going down. And now I'm kind of obsessed.
Is the Italian animation company you were mentioning the ones behind Titanic, The Legend Goes On?
Maybe. It's
the
Mondo,
sequel to Titanic.
M-O-N-D-A.
Definitely second rate, that whoever made those ones.
They have, like, if you go to, like, their YouTube channel is Mondo World, but they have not a lot of original stuff, but yes, they have The Legend of the Titanic and In Search of the Titanic.
Oh, okay, but not Titanic, The Legend Goes On. because that, that's one that is legendary on the Bechdel cast.
Yeah, fully goes right, off the
rails. Of course. Yeah, I don't think it's that one, but it's just, it's so wild. Like, there are three seasons, and I'm like, are they going to get to her assassination? Where are they going with this? Like,
just brutal assassination. What is something you think is overrated?
Aggressive phone games, like smartphone games.
What's aggressive? Or give us, what's like, the spectrum here?
So, I mean, I am a very casual gamer when it comes to my smartphone. Like, I play Candy Crush Soda Saga every other day or whatever. If I'm, like, super bored, my main thing is a Switch. But, you know, just like everyone, when they're a little bored, they'll just
play get some puzzle games and things, yeah.
But I'm also a big fan of Scrabble. So I got Scrabble Go, and I was really enjoying it, especially because you can set it up to play in different languages. But it's very needy. I cannot believe how needy this game is. Like, it will forfeit your turn if you don't play a turn in a specific amount of time.
Are you playing against a human or against a computer?
You can do either. But even if you're playing against a computer, it's like, no one's waiting for me. But
right,
it's like,
yeah. That's stupid. Even,
the computer doesn't have shit to do. What is it?
Yeah. Like, even oh, as yeah, a
watch
player,
me not charge your ass. Then what?
I would not mind, like, waiting for someone else to take their turn and just have a bunch of games open and just, like, be very, very slow with it. That, for me, is fine, you know? Like, I don't understand why. And then, like, it would, like, when I turned on the notifications for it, it would just keep coming up, like, hey, you have a turn to play. Someone played their turn. You should go in and play. And it's like, I don't have all the time in the world. It's just, like, you know, 5 minutes here and there to try playing Scrabble.
That's why I don't let any notifications on my phone, really. Like, I have to, like, that's the one way I can keep my peace, like, in terms of not being, because you'll constantly be bombarded with, like, all kinds of alerts. Like, if you have social media stuff on, you know, like, text stuff, you have threads that go off all the time. I find myself being less inclined to entertain the notifications. But for games, I don't go past puzzles because I'm not trying to learn a whole new, like, level of dexterity, because when I see, like, the more involved, like, action games that are on iPhones and shit, I'm like, no. I just want to use one finger and, like, poke at my phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm. Are you, Miles, do you fuck with Candy Crush or Candy Crush Soda Saga?
Not so. I used to. I'm a big Bejeweled fan.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, specifically the mine, when you go, like, the timed mining one where you got to, like, really keep the fucking the matches going to break the earth and do it all in time. That's my favorite thing to do on the toilet. Mm.
That's where you have to play puzzle games, of course.
Yeah, that and or, like, reading for the show. Like, I have my routine. I'm like, I check my news, do my Bejeweled, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hit up
a great image for all the listeners.
Yeah, and also bidet is a must. You know, if you're going to be on the Miles program, the Miles Morning program, you must have the bidet, the squatty potty, and the tushy.
Sometimes I'm, like, unnerved by how quickly time will disappear when you're playing those games. When you're playing, like... Bejeweled or Candy Crush.
That's called being in a flow state,
I guess. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. It's on a some very level. Liminal place. Mm. Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
Redubbed movies and TV shows and whatever else you like watching that has people speaking in it. So this is something, of course, for my podcast, it comes up a lot because most of my listeners are in the US, but most of the stuff we talk about is in Japan. So people often wonder, oh, should we watch the original version? But there are some times where it's actually better to watch something dubbed in another language, maybe because the voice acting is better or, like, the dialogue is improved. Like, to even put it in the terms of, like, an American thing, there are certain things that, like, are more cringe watching in the original English than when I see it, for example, dubbed in Japanese. So, like, a big one for me is... my husband loves the movie Cats and Dogs. That's like one of his big childhood movies, right? It's like it's very silly. It is all these talking cats and dogs, and the cats are evil or whatever.
Oh yeah,
Want to take over the world. Yeah. So the movie is, like, low key really racist because they have all these racist stereotypes for, like, the animals.
Right.
There's, like,
right.
There's, like, a
oh,
Siamese
isn't there, like,
cat
a
part.
Asian ninja or some shit.
Yeah,
I remember
cats,
that trailer.
Right. Right. And then there's also the Russian blue cat who's, like, speaks like a Russian spy. It's, like, really, really ridiculous.
Right.
So that part is super cringe to watch. But then, like, I see that, oh, my husband, of course, because he watched it as a kid, he prefers it in Japanese. So I watched it in Japanese and it's suddenly a much more enjoyable program. Like, it's just right. Like, for one thing, they put more effort into just putting in a lot of dog and cat puns that are really great. Not that there aren't puns in English, but like, it makes more sense, I guess.
Right.
And like, yeah, just generally, it's just more enjoyable because it's suddenly less racist.
Yeah, and, that's funny how literally like, because like, wow, in our language, we don't have the culture. We don't have these weird stereotypes. We have other ones, but not these specific ones.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like, oh, yeah, look at them being just very objective about these characters and not ascribing, you know, cultural stereotypes to them.
Yeah,
that's one of your credits that I left off of your bio, but you are a translator.
Oh, yes.
I've never really thought of that. I don't have a ton of experience with like listening to the dubs or like watching things with the dubs turned on. Mm-hmm, is there like what one type of content that's like generally has like really good dubs? Because I don't know, all the dubs that I've experienced have been like kind of half-assed, and like most recent experience I had was that German show Dark, where like I was like, why do people like this for a season? And then I turned the dub off and started reading the subtitles, and I was like, oh, because it has like good actors, and you just couldn't tell when the dub was on.
No, that's definitely something that makes a huge difference, right? So there are such things as good dubs and bad dubs. So for example, the show I mentioned earlier, Sister of the Young Empress, has a really bad English dub. Also, the dialogue is really strange. Like in episode 3, there's actually a line, was it 3? Yeah, there's a line, you have to trust the poop, was something that this literal princess said out loud. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that they like cut up the line so they don't sound like, I don't know, like the way anyone normally speaks English. But yeah, so there is such a thing. It really depends on who is handling the dub. So another good example in terms of Magical Girls, the biggest Magical Girl series for kids right now is called Pretty Cure. And there's only been one dub done in English under that name, which is done by a Canadian company. They handled the very first season. But two of the seasons were handled by Netflix and Subon, and they're called Glitter Force. They changed the name, I think, for legal reasons. And a lot of people really don't like Glitter Force as a dub because they changed the characters' names. To be honest, the other one did too. And they changed a lot of like the context and dialogue. They edited episodes and didn't air some episodes.
Too much meta.
And it's like, it's the same. Yeah, it's that kind of thing. So like, but that being said, it's a kid's show and a lot of kids watched that and were introduced to the series for the first time. So like, I don't really hate it too much for that reason. It got us more fans, right? And like a lot of kids are now like, oh, that's my childhood. So that's cool. But yeah, so like that kind of thing makes a huge difference. And like there are some people where if they see who is handling the dub, they just be like, I'm not going to watch this because I don't think it's going to be any good. I don't trust what they've done in the past. Maybe they do those kind of localizations. But yeah, that's definitely something that it really, really depends on who's doing that work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like any other kind of production.
Right. Know who's dubbing your content, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing goes with, you know, American stuff in Japan. Let's see. There are some good ones. Like if you watch action movies, there's a lot of good dubs in action movies that are really fun to watch. Rush Hour is very funny in Japanese, but Supernatural, the TV show, is very strange in Japanese. They like dubbed it kind of the same way that they would voice act for an animation. So like all the voices are kind of strange. And it's just like, it's just very strangely goofy in a way that like makes it really hard to watch.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think it's, there's also just like Japanese voice acting can be really intense too. Like growing up, like seeing a lot of dubbed things, like there's not a lot of subdued performances a lot of the times. Like you're getting all of it's like it, you're like almost like, if I wasn't looking, I might also think this is an anime or something like that. But I think it's always just tough when you're having to, create something out of nothing when you have no shared language.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And so the January 6th commission, the attempt to figure out what all went down when the Capitol was attacked, is moving forward. And the Republicans were basically like, if anybody fucking says anything, you're fired.
Dude, you're out of the gang.
Can't even be friends with us anymore.
That's basically what Kevin McCarthy does. That's how he controls the party. He Liz Cheney, everyone's saying, is she going to do it? She was one of the 2 Republicans to vote for the commission, along with Adam Kinzinger. And Kevin McCarthy, his first thing was just saying, like, anybody accepts this, you will have all of your committee assignments taken away, which will render you fucking useless.
Damn.
And that's a pretty big threat. But Pelosi still,
not for Liz Cheney.
Not for Liz Cheney, because she's like, I'm already dead, motherfucker. Right. You think you can kill me more?
Can't kill what is already dead, motherfucker.
For my bills, she's expressed, her and Kinzinger, how much more they've had to spend on their personal security as a result of acknowledging reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what, you know, once Pelosi named her to the committee, she said, quote, what happened on January 6th can never happen again. Those who are responsible for the attack need to be held accountable, and this select committee will fulfill that responsibility in a professional, expeditious, and nonpartisan manner. Now, that got a lot of Republicans upset because they were saying, like, well, lights out for you. But she's already, it seems like she feels like she's probably not going to make it past 2023 anyway, in Wyoming. So for her, she's like, okay, watch me do this on the way out. And Adam Kinzinger, we still don't know if he's going to join or not, but he's, again, another person who made the mistake of acknowledging what happened and saying that is fucking not good. And maybe we do need to actually, you know, figure out who is involved so they can be, you know, drug out into the sunlight. And when he was asked whether or not he was worried about McCarthy's threats, he said, who gives a shit? And then he said, he goes on to say, when you've got people who say crazy stuff and you're not going to make, and you're not going to make that threat, but you make that threat to truth tellers, you've lost any credibility.
I did not understand that sentence at all. Like you had that in the doc, and I was just like,
when you got,
I was like, you could have stopped it. Who gives a shit? Because
yeah, you're not that's gonna enough. Make that it really threat, is enough.
But you make that threat to truth. Yeah, it's look.
He could have. He's a Republican. He's in some world, like some far off.
I'm sure it
orbit.
Makes sense to someone.
Right.
Yeah. Who gives
anyways,
a shit? It's just powerful.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see if we get actual results from this. But it's fun drama. And also, just shout out to Liz Cheney. I know her family is probably going through it right now with the passing
with
of Unky Don.
the whole
wait,
war
are they
crimers.
Related?
Well, no,
you
know, but
just
like,
through their hellbound connection.
Yeah, their dads did. Sure. There's sure, like sure, something sure. that's remarkably bonding about doing war crimes together, especially when like
Absolutely.
You're doing war crimes that define an entire century. So shout out to them. Let's talk about police real quick. There's a new trend in being proudly belligerent in the world of police. So in April, a young black man was having a mental health episode in a Walmart. And within a minute of showing up, the police tased, shot, and then tased him again until he was dead. This is a textbook case where a mental health specialist, a social worker, like literally anything else would have been better than an armed police officer, like a fucking hockey team, like anything, just send anyone besides the police. But so people are protesting. And yesterday morning, while people were protesting, you know, the police force that basically murdered him, an officer walked up and told them they had to move their sign. And when they tried to have a conversation with the cop, he took out his phone and started playing Taylor Swift, like put his phone in his breast pocket and started playing Taylor Swift really loud. So you couldn't really hear him or the people trying to talk to him. And the activists were like kind of confused. They were like, yo, are we having a dance party? What's happening? And
he did
sergeant,
it so casually, too.
Right. Yeah. The sergeant replied that all he knew was they wouldn't be able to post their video to YouTube because there would be copyright claim. And like just the like fucking grin on his face as he was doing this and just like how clever he thought it was. And
probably wasn't his idea. That would be giving him too much credit.
Yeah.
It's probably like his teen daughter or something. He's like,
yeah.
Play that to take it down. What?
Yeah.
All right.
That's not even completely true, though. I was, well, at least because when I was seeing that video on Twitter, I think some people were saying that all the YouTube channel would have to do is demonetize that particular video.
Yeah.
And it would be okay.
Because it's not like they're uploading like the clean track to their video that's edited in. So the sweepers work a little bit differently, those copyright sweepers that go on the internet to figure out if you're running afoul. But it's the great irony of watching like intellectual property copyright law again come to the defense of police brutality in this like weird way. You're like, fuck. Like it's all so dark.
Yeah, and he had it cynicism. Ready too. He was just like right there. Like he was ready to go. Like it was like I can imagine just before they were all, I guess, arriving to go beat people up or kill people. They had they're like, okay, let's see. Are you going to do Taylor Swift? Okay, what do you have? You have little Lil Nas X or whatever. Like, they're all have their music ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fitting that it's Taylor Swift, though, and not Lil Nas X, because you know how the white supremacists love some Taylor
That's
Swift.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not saying she's white supremacist, just saying.
Right.
White supremacists.
Well, they were mad, though, because
some Taylor.
But then she was like, I'm not with that. And they're like,
oh, yeah, they were upset.
How could you? You being not really unequivocal just gave us the gray area to believe you were one of our great artists.
It is like the idea is such a like email forward that gets sent to your dad at work type fucking like half-assed, not true idea that is just like that is the culture of these police forces. And like that is what they're going to put energy into. Like people, the idea that people are putting tampons in their fucking iced tea or whatever, or like the fact that you can just like play a YouTube song and it'll get the evidence of you abusing and killing people taken down. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's just so stupid and half-assed. Yeah. And that's all, like, that's the standard they're held to. And right. they would rather just be belligerent and just spite the people who are criticizing them rather than mm-hmm. even acknowledge that there's a problem in the first place.
No, yeah. then that would, because if they acknowledge anything, it would be the, you know, the timer could end up ticking down to when they more people are like, oh, okay, right. So this is an obsolete way of dealing with things. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to switch it up because we just have a group of goons who, you know, learn all their new clever ways of brutalizing people with TikTok videos. Like, hey, use this song and it can't get uploaded. And they're like, oh, cool. Pretty soon, I bet you they're going to be wearing like uniforms that are made out of like material that like cameras like are like have trouble capturing and shit. Because it's just like this same, like this is, I can only see where this goes further, right? If this is one way to obscure or to hide their misdeeds, then I'm sure there'll be a further escalation aside from what we already have. Like we see how cops will lift the hoods of their cars to block dash cams and things like that. And be like, well, it's on, but I just had the hood up to not capture anything.
Right? Yeah, but that's the interesting thing is like he was so confident that the video, that the song would be able to protect him like this Taylor Swift shield that like he started to show off his badge and name and stuff. Like he's like, yeah, you guys can take that down because I'm going to be protected by this by song.
He's like, guess what, fool? There's some shit called Daily Motion.
Right.
Yeah. There's so many. Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many other websites that let
Twitter and Facebook and literally anywhere people want to.
Nico, post I don't us. Know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But anyways, speaking of obsolete, let's talk about how our world is soon going to be obsolete for the new temperatures, the temperature of the world that we're approaching. We're just not built for it. We didn't build the world to deal with this. So Pacific Northwest in the United States is dealing with, you know, deaths. 63 people passed away over the weekend, last weekend in Oregon, because Oregon is not accustomed to usually having to even use fucking air conditioning.
Yeah. And everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's
we talked about Tacoma, Washington. Prices just went quadrupled if they had air conditioning in a room. And yeah. and not just the US, like in Canada too. There was an entire town that like this one town that had the record for like the hottest place in Canada. It went up in flames. And the entire town had to be evacuated because within like 15 minutes, the mayor said it went from smoke to everything being on fire and then just ordering like people to flee. And then even in British Columbia, the coroner's service, they recorded at least 233 deaths over the weekend. They've received 65 reports of sudden deaths since that Friday. And all of this is hyperthermia from overheating. And yeah, they just even see the number of calls that are made. For example, 131 people in Oregon visited the hospital or an urgent care facility just to get out of the heat, just for some kind of heat related illness. In a normal weekend, they said hospitals would see maybe one. And we're seeing 131. I mean, I think this is the point where the rhetoric, I feel like, really needs to change, especially with like large, like mainstream media, of like, rather than like, we got to fight off this 2-degree, you know, temperature rise or else things could be bad. It's here. It's now. Mm-hmm. We are there. We are seeing what is happening when buildings are crumbling, when you have massive death like this. It's hard to say that we're almost like what's going to happen. I think we're here. Like we've been here. And regardless of whether we're trying to fight like it getting worse down the road, I think humanity owes it to itself to take this as seriously as possible. But again, when you look at especially how our political system is structured, it's clear that, you know, Republicans and corporate Democrats alike are willing to sacrifice us for, you know, campaign cash.
Yeah.
Yep. This stuff is not even new at all. Like, it's like the world has been screaming for help for so long.
Yeah.
And like, one of the shows I'm currently watching for my podcast is from 1970, and they had an episode about pollution and like trying to save the water and save the earth because everything is going up in flames. And it's like, that was 60 years ago, almost, right. Oh, not 50 years ago. Sorry, I can't math. And it's like, nothing's really changed. Everything is still terrible.
Yeah. Just the strategies or PR campaigns, I think, have changed.
Yep.
Without definitely. The real substantive work.
One thing that I think needs to change is the emphasis, especially in the mass media, going from here's how you can make individual sacrifices as a private person. Like, you have to recycle this, you have to turn off your heat, you have to save water, and just ignoring the corporate, you know, complicity in all of this, the fact that corporations cause the vast majority, like the top 20 companies like are responsible for most of global warming, that like, you know, when there's a water shortage in California, it's a lot of the farming companies that are just, you know, they have better inroads to the people who are making the decisions than you and I, like than any single individual. And then like a cartoonish example of this was that alert that went out in New York a few days ago. Telling people that they had to turn off their air conditioning.
Yeah, you're going to screw up the earth.
Because the grid was being like pushed to the breaking point. And people were pointing out, like, there's this tweet from Jason O. Gilbert. He's like, New Yorkers, please do not use air conditioning or flush any toilets so that the Ferris wheel inside the M&M store can run 24/7.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, you guys have Times Square. You didn't turn Times Square off. And you're asking people to like put their lives in danger. That's what went New York during the summer without air conditioning. You are putting people's lives in danger. And you're doing that.
Coca-Cola, though.
So that Coca-Cola can keep their Coca-Cola sign lit up. It's like, shut the fuck up. What is wrong with y'all? The webcam
footage where everyone was like, just so you know, this is like an hour after the alert. They're like, look at the Times Square web cameras. Because every single billboard is lit up. Everything is on full blast down there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think it's just, it's a very good reminder of just how everything is going to work. Like, especially in this country, it's like, well, we could ask the corporations to do different, but we're not. So we'll just let you die, the voter, the worker, the normal person.
Gotta keep that big, shiny McDonald's going.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, this is why, you know, wars are fought, especially in this country where it's like, we got to make sure we have as many customers around the world. But Joe Biden, I just want to bring this back a little bit to the idea of the filibuster, because we have things like the Green New Deal. We have a lot of progressive politicians who are rejecting some of this infrastructure deal that Joe Biden has, because they're saying this is not actually addressing climate change. Like, this is a fucking giveaway to polluters. This isn't substantive or radical, which is what we need as we watch people perish from being overheated. And this idea, again, where, you know, the more you sort of look at it, it's become very easy for, I think, the Biden administration to just point to Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin and be like, I don't know what am I supposed to do? And it's like, you're the fucking president. You know, figure that out. That's not leadership to throw your hands up because you have two people who are more publicly, you know, covering for the filibuster and to sort of maintain the status quo when I'm at the same time ignoring that your support is sliding with the people that voted for you because you're acting, well, I don't know what I can do. And this is just kind of, I don't know. I think it's just sort of another omni crisis that human beings are having to face, especially in this country too, given that American conservatism is a huge, one of the biggest contributors to climate change and climate change now.
Hey, stay cool out there, guys. Pacific Northwest, you know?
Right. That's what they'd say.
Yes. And please don't use fireworks this July 4th weekend.
Unless you're asking me to sacrifice something that personally is very important to me. So,
yeah. Just to explode. Dude, little bang bangs in the sky or in my lawn.
I think they're officially banned in Portland from what I'm reading correctly.
Makes sense.
But like,
I mean,
that's not going to stop anyone. I'm sure anyone who wants to is going to do it anyway. But
like anything, you just cross state lines to get the shit that you want, that, you know, and then put your own state in danger. And again, if you're gonna have fireworks, leave it to the law enforcement professionals, like the LAPD bomb squad, who blew up their fucking car like idiots trying to destroy some confiscated fireworks. They've never looked more dumb. These fucking people.
I still can't believe that story.
I just want to read three consecutive tweets Cody Johnston retweeted. More than 5,000 pounds of illegal fireworks seized from a home in South LA. The bomb squad is now hauling them away by the truckload. Some of these fireworks are about to be safely detonated on scene. A couple minutes later, explosion! LAPD was disposing of illegal fireworks in South LA when the explosion occurred. At least 5 are injured. By the way, I felt this in my house when it happened. Mm-hmm. I looked out the window. God. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Yeah.
Holy shit.
And then next, from the LAPD. Our bomb squad officers were in the process of seizing over 5,000 pounds of illegal fireworks in the area. Some of the fireworks were being stored in our bomb squad trailer as a precautionary measure. Unknown at this time what caused an explosion. Oh, for real?
The 5,000 pounds of explosives?
That y'all mishandled, maybe?
Yeah. That's definitely the officer-related incident, kind of not telling us what happened. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. You're going to get a blue alert on your cell phone called the LAPD blew themselves up. Oh, my God. Fucking just get rid of these fireworks. Because you look at the thing they had, it's like in one of those iron spear things that I guess typically you could just be like, oh, yeah, put it in there, boom, whatever, you can dispose of it. I don't know if they overloaded the thing. Because
it was one of those old-timey Acme bombs that they mistook for.
It's a black bowling ball with a fuse coming out of it.
With a fuse. They're like, this looks right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But the way it leveled that truck and everything, and I'm like, and also, fuck you for doing that in a residential area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A residential area they don't give a fuck about.
But that's also, again, you look at, South L.A., not a majority white part of the city. And they really have a lot of energy to find these people. And I get it, fireworks can cause injuries and fires and things like that. But I guarantee you go to Westlake, California or Calabasas and shit, motherfuckers got fireworks, but you're not really giving a fuck about it over there.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and it is boom time for psychics right now, baby. It's boom time for the LAPD and for psychics. Economically for psychics, literally for the LAPD. So since the pandemic hit, Google searches for psychic increased. Yelp reported that the supernatural readings business went up by 140%. And according to Pew Research data from 2018, an estimated 6 out of 10 American adults accept at least one New Age belief, which includes psychics.
Mm. Wait, what are New Age beliefs? What are we, is there,
I think it's
like,
just
what are the other ones you say?
Like crystals.
Tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
Reiki. They put Reiki in there? Okay.
Reiki's, all right. They're like meditation, you know, mm-hmm. this wild
things
shit.
Things that cannot be, quote unquote, proven with hard science.
Acupuncture.
With Cartesian mm-hmm. Western thought.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So our writer Jam is pointing out that, you know, throughout history, whenever there's been some sort of upheaval or some sort of collective anxiety in society, interest in psychics has shot up after the Civil War. Was this long period where spiritualism, people who could commune with the dead, was like very, very popular. The Fox sisters, these kind of spooky looking young women who basically communicated with each other. It was kind of an easy scam to see through. They were just like knocking on the wood. And that was the thing that they were saying, like, was the spirits communing with them. And but it was like you can just tell that something is ripe, that like it was filling a need in the zeitgeist, because they became like the biggest celebrities of that decade for being able to commune with the dead. And like Abraham Lincoln's wife Mary Todd was like really into this whole movement, and it makes sense because like everyone's kids were dying, you know, people's significant others were dying in the Civil War, and you just wanted to be able to talk to those people. You were also just like constantly thinking about death,
right?
So this gives you the scientific and political reality is like, we don't know, and we're waiting and seeing, and we just have to be like cautious and try
some
various
hate that
techniques. And that's, I mean, mm-hmm. the human brain hates that. It's like too,
yeah,
it's not concrete enough.
Well, yeah, but I think more than even like having your like just feeling your limbic system be like, what the fuck is going on? You can still use your brain to be like, okay, I'm in unprecedented times. But I also get that, yeah, if you're more susceptible to that, what couldn't be more of like an attractive proposition? Someone being like, oh, I know what the fuck is happening here.
Yeah.
And then you're like, tell me more. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. Tell me more. Mm-hmm. Q? What?
Yeah. yeah. I actually do, it's not like a major hobby or anything, but I like tarot. I don't believe that it actually has anything like spiritual going on with it. It's just like the system is made so that it's very easy for people to get their thoughts externalized, basically. And once it's like there, like I've literally never had, like, again, not believing in it, I have never had a tarot reading done where the other person didn't say, oh my god, this is so true, right and it's just because, like, for one thing, all the cards can have a bunch of different meanings, but also like, yeah, once all these things are out there, they're like, oh yeah, there is someone like that in my life or whatever. And like that, seeing that, having someone else say that, the things that they were already thinking, always helps them to like understand something that was honestly probably already in their mind anyway,
right?
Yeah.
But it's very It's very, very funny. It's, I mean, there, it's a very interesting thing. And of course, if you're listening and you believe in tarot, I'm not trying to like, there's no offense to you guys. It's just for me, I don't.
No offense to you, but to me, there's just some fucking cards with some cool drawings on them that help connect dots like, in people's subconscious.
I collect. I have like two tarot decks like right next to me on my desk here. Like I just.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know people who are heavy with the tarot. But mostly, like,
so
they
fun to
just,
collect.
It's like, I think it's like Pokemon for them in a way. It's like playing Magic the Gathering, but like a little more emotional with emotional stakes. I think that's what Ouija, the fun is for some people.
So the first Ouija board started being mass produced in the late 1800s. And you would see sales shoot up like during World War One. After the Spanish flu epidemic, and we're seeing that again during this pandemic, the popularity of Ouija, which, so I think all of this goes back to the fact that we, the human mind, is this like powerful in unknown ways, like incredibly vast, infinite, you know, machine, like realm that we only have very limited access to. Like our conscious mind is shining a tiny spotlight on like 5 to 10% of what is actually going on in our mind. And the Ouija and all these various things and spiritual practices just allow you to kind of get a different way into those things. So like with Ouija, it's like you're, you know, people always talk about how it feels like the thing is moving without them, or like you get a group consciousness that takes over and like starts moving it. Like I think that's all very valid and interesting, maybe not for the reasons explicitly that people think, but it's actually like creating interesting ideas, and it's definitely like a valid way to process like your discomfort with the world.
Yeah, it's like psychological, it's almost like therapy, so that's what a lot of people need, especially in times like this, so it makes a lot of sense.
Damn, I wish a Ouija board could replace my therapy.
It's a lot cheaper. Yeah.
I'm like, shit. Yeah, it was Monday morning. Let me get my Ouija board out. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, yeah. There it is. There it is. But yeah, there is something to. I mean, I would always fuck with people when I was on the Ouija. I was the chaos agent. If you had me do Ouija with you, I'm pushing
around.
I'm pushing that shit around.
And I was the dummy who was like, nobody knows how this is happening. Miles, what's happening?
Oh, I don't know. Look, it says JACKISALOSER. I don't know, y'all.
Oh, no.
Loser. We heard it here. Gotta go.
Yeah.
I think I need to
cluck like a chicken for the next 2 days,
or the Sixers will lose forever.
Oh my goodness!
The whole thing, though, with I think, as a kid, I was very logical type kid, and if you know, I didn't like magic tricks. Like I would always be like, man, show me how that shit worked, because I'm off. Don't stop telling me it's magic, okay? It's not magic. Show me how the trick works. And when I first saw kids doing Ouija, I was like, this is so fucking stupid. Like, how are y'all even believing this? Even though, like, at the time, I'm 11, so I don't know why I'm thinking I'm some galaxy brain motherfucker out here. Probably I was 11, but. Yeah, that contributed to me meddling in it. But I totally see your point about when you even begin to see the things that are in your unconscious, the same things where I think like psychedelics like can be really mind-blowing for people. It's like early on, like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You realize we operate on like that little bit of oil that hardens up on the top of a soup.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? And then everything is underneath that. And we're barely dipping our toe into that part. We're just kind of on this surface skim level for sure.
Yeah, drugs are definitely like were for a long time my favorite way to access this. Religion is a very popular way to access it. But like it definitely should not be discounted. It's and also like in reference to psychedelics, like do some reading on people describing their guided psychedelic like therapy sessions. It's unbelievable, like the like detailed like poetic like cinematic imagery that people's minds are creating, and like people remember it. They're like, yeah, so I was like watching this short film where like my dead father and I were like going through this like visual poem of a like representation of all the images that, or of all the issues that like I had with him. It's pretty amazing.
Right.
And yeah, so anyways, there's also like,
so what, I send you $900, Jack, for you to sort this out for me through with your psychic powers?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So that's the thing, is that there's some people who are taking advantage of this in shitty ways. What one person who's not really taking advantage of it, but who's getting some shine off of it, is a deceased psychic named Sylvia Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Who released a book in 2008 that claimed, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. And so that very specific sentence sent the book to, it became a bestseller in 2020. It was number two on Amazon's nonfiction charts for a while. Unfortunately, it goes on to say, almost more baffling than the illness itself will be the fact that it will suddenly vanish as quickly as it arrived, attack again 10 years later, and then disappear completely. So that didn't happen. Also, first of all, that's not a good description of COVID either, doctors right. Would point out. She's also made some like really shitty, bold predictions.
Yo, on Montel. There's like a YouTube video.
So she's
video.
The one on Montel.
Yeah.
Who told a mother of a missing girl that her daughter was dead on Montel, on TV. That daughter was one of the people who was being held in Ariel Castro's like dungeon.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So she fucked that one up. She Montel had to apologize. Mm-hmm. She just kind of was like, backed her way out of the room.
Yeah. I mean, the people have like, you know, they've always, Sylvia Brown has been pretty out there with her, you know, self-deification. Yeah. So a lot of people have debunked her over the years. But that is wild that even despite that, they're like, but she was right about this thing.
Yeah.
Back in 2008.
I mean, that's the thing, is you only have to be like kind of right about some things. And that's enough for some people to believe everything, you know.
Right.
That, like, yeah,
just like, hey, Jack, I remember that trending episode when Chris Paul got, you know, he's going to the Suns. And we said, hey, that might be good for Ayton and Corey Booker. Or, I mean, for Devin Booker. And then look what happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, ESPN is offering me a deal. So this will be my last podcast, because...
Hey, we heard you say that on a podcast
a year ago.
Now you're giving all kinds of idiot people like false dreams. Like, see, you could say some
ESPN
on a podcast.
ESPN monetizes people just saying takes loud as possible.
Yeah,
oftentimes wrong. Anyways, there's like also more straightforward graft. Like, there's a person who was told by a psychic to bring her $9,000 in a pillowcase with 9 white roses, 9 red roses. And she would perform rituals and soon return the $9,000, and also it would like clear his bad energy, and that he has been surprisingly unable to recoup a cent of that, has since lost his money because of the pandemic, or lost his job because of the pandemic, and is like really hurting, and the police won't take those sorts of claims seriously because they're assholes.
Wow. Who'd have
thought? So, yeah.
Serve and protect. Unless they're blowing themselves up with your fireworks.
Yeah. There was also a massive psychic mail fraud scheme in 2019 that made more than $200 million from 1.4 million victims.
I am in the wrong business. I need to really invest in my
and that's what they're saying.
Cards
like,
all the way. You know what I said before? I believe everything about the cards. I was definitely joking before.
And I remember, Ayumi, I remember in 2009, you said I would be hosting a podcast with a man whose name started with J.
Yeah.
And we will go on to do great things and do all. You were only right about the first part. I still believe your powers. You know what I mean? I 100% do. But yeah, I get it, you know, because you don't come out, you don't go to the police because you're probably ashamed, because you're like, oh, yeah, look, I got duped because this person told me to put $9,000 in a pillowcase. Because, you know, it feels like when you say it out loud, you're like, yeah, I should have known. But at the time, I'm so desperate for some kind of closure or relief emotionally that this is the only place offering it to me. But I'm curious what that person said, why they needed $9,000 that would eventually return to them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I lay the bills out and then I rub the roses on top and then I get a vibe, do a vibe check on the currency and then it vanishes. But then I give it back. Like, mechanically, I'd really be, again, concerned with how that all works.
Well, energetically, Miles, mm-hmm. it's important that you mm-hmm. are giving them something that is worth a lot to you spiritually.
I see. And okay.
So $9,000 specifically, like, that's a good way to just kind of dial in specifically your psychic energy and like how much something matters to you, because you know.
Say less. I'm sorry. I don't mean to have you explain this to me.
Yeah, $10,000 would be asking too much. But.
Right.
But $8,000 is not enough.
This spell requires specifically $9,000.
Okay, I will. Okay, that's all I need to know. I'm about to go to my bank right now and
thank you. But yeah, it's a good grift, because a lot of the people are either too embarrassed to come forward. The cops won't take them seriously. Mm-hmm. Prosecutors won't try the case because they're afraid the victim is going to look stupid to a jury. And yeah, so I mean, this is a good place to end the episode, since we opened up with the religious grift
healthcare
that is advertising on our show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is just another kind of spiritual grift trying to fill the hole that Americans are lacking, because mm-hmm. community has dissolved and we.
Oh, because that's the thing, Jack. You know, I want everybody to come on down to my faith-based healthcare company that I have, you know, because our motto here is, it's not a lack of medication, it's a lack of salvation. And when you get that salvation, you won't need that medication. Thank you so much. And we can put away your fear and trepidation.
It rhymes because it's true.
Preach. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's more powerful when it rhymes. Because
it's true. It rhymes because it's true.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, y'all are cured.
Amy, it's been such a pleasure having you back, as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
Well, thank you again for having me back. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter, though mostly on Twitter, to be perfectly honest. I think Instagram is more for stories, but my personal Instagram is at Ayushinows, AYUSHEKNOWS. The one for my podcast, Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu, is at Magical Girl Ayu. So that's spelled AYU. And like y'all said, I do art. That's one of my things. I do translate, I can do private translations also. But, you know, art mostly, like, if you want, like, a birthday present or something, my paintings are good for that. Or if you like one of the things I already painted. Thank you. You know, you can buy prints.
Also, I called them drawings earlier because I'm an idiot, but...
No. It's okay. I do drawings too, so that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. Not it all, but at least those two things. Yeah. but yeah, like if you want, like, usually people want to give presents to their loved ones, and so a portrait's really good for that. Or you can buy old prints of mine in my print shop, which is at InPrint, InPrint. Yeah, under the same name.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. So this is at Mopinks, MOPINKS. They tweeted about this sign, and it just says, so their comment is just, no, that absolutely does not work. The sign looks like it's from a hotel or something, and it's supposed to say welcome, but for some reason, the C in welcome is a starfish. Huh? So it just looks like, well, after looking at it for some time, I believe what the point of this is they are trying to make the starfish look like a K to still
it
make
looks
that
like
same
Baphomet's head.
I know, it's completely, I don't know.
I like this. Maybe they're like on some demonic shit. They're like, welcome. And I'm like, to our beach house.
You know what? Yes, that does. And actually, I did not realize that starfish does look kind of goatish, actually. Yeah.
It's inverted. It looks like inverted, you know, pentagram type shit.
Yeah. But it's just, it's so
if
strange.
If you had to, would you say X? What would a starfish be if you could substitute it for a letter? Like, could it be anything in here?
I mean, the comments are saying, like, it could make an O because it's kind of like a star, you know.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Welcome, if you will.
Yeah, it's just such an odd choice, but it's just like they were confident that it would translate to saying welcome, and it's like, nope.
People like to get artsy with it, you know. Just mm-hmm. sometimes it's like the letters, they do the job they're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter or Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiance. Where are we talking 90 Day Fiance? A couple tweets that I like. This is actually a quote tweet from a tweet from, I believe, someone from Zeitgang at It's Dave, Not David, said, I can hear Prof, Sophie, and Miles celebrating in relation to the Clippers not making it to the NBA Finals. I abstained from really responding because I want to be, man, what the fuck am I saying, man? I don't know any Angelina, real people who are born in LA that rep the Clippers. No, Paul Scheer, you're not from here, bro. And don't stop acting like the Clippers are the working class team. What the fuck? What, sir? Yeah, no. Take a look around the city.
They're the
buses went up
team.
When Kobe Bryant passed away. You know who. Anyway, Prof said group text going crazy, and I get it. Next up, I want to say.
Wait,
this one's
is
from,
Paul Scheer trying to claim that the Clippers
Paul
are the
Scheer was
class?
Quoted in the fucking paper saying, like, I really like the Clippers. You know, they're like the working man's team in L.A., like. The Lakers are
what
too
does that
Hollywood.
Even mean?
Now, while I get now that because the move to the Staples Center did usher in a new era of NBA fandom, which were people who could afford the Staples Center, well, before it used to be people who could have any, like most people could afford going to the Great Western Forum. There is that. But the idea that the people who support the Lakers in this city, like this has been the basketball team for decades before the Clippers brought their stanking asses up here. So next up, I want to say this goes out to at BOCXTOP, first mate Prancy tweeted, we got streets crumbling under record-breaking heat and Republicans worried about kids learning that America used to be even more racist. Yeah, that is seems like a bit of a misstep here. And the last one is from at Chunk Barty tweeted, I'm vibing, smiley face. This is, of course, not true. Oh, yeah. We all want to be vibing, but we just aren't.
You're not vibing if you're pronouncing the ing, I think.
Yeah. I am vibing.
I am vibing, you guys. Oh, my goodness.
Vibing so
no, you,
hard.
You are not. You're not vibing. You are hiding from your subconscious. Mm-hmm.
Tweet I enjoyed, Kylie Jansen tweeted, there are two ways to pronounce speedometer, and we picked the wrong one, which speed-o-meter is the correct. Let's make this a thing, Zyke. Speed-o-meter. And Lawboy Esquire tweeted, a lot of people are trying to understand why Bill Cosby is being released from prison. As an experienced attorney, I can explain. He is extremely, extremely rich.
That's all it is. Even though he's out here trying to act like I maintain my innocence, like you're guilty still, sir.
Yeah.
You're out on a weird ass technicality. So, and this dude is still, apparently there's already talk about like how he's going to be making money off appearances and shit.
A quick Romney tweeted, I can't believe that Dave and Buster's is owned by Dave Chappelle and Busta Rhymes. I did not know that.
Wow. Imagine if it was the aesthetic. Oh my
that
God.
Would be it would be smoky as shit in there.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we telling people to go out and do some vibing?
We're going to vibe actually to some music from, one of my other mother countries, Japan. This is a group called Chai, C-H-A-I. And they're a girl group who, you know, they do very interesting stuff. But this track is sort of their take on, you know, what they call Japanese city pop. From the 80s, which is a very popular, it's kind of resurging now as like a genre where this like very poppy Japanese music that was like heavily influenced by American pop at the time. But it's just got, I just love city pop. I don't know if it's just me being Japanese, but it seems like it has global appeal, but it's very easy to listen to. But this is like, they're a little bit more like raw with it. And so they're giving it a little bit, it's like less polished, but really dope. And it's called Donuts Mind If I Do. And it's just like a fun play on, you know, they're using their own version of English here in Japanese, but it's got that like really nice city pop vibe. So this is Chai with Donuts Mind If I Do.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And hey, we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.